1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show, as performed by Phil Hendry on the Premier Radio Network.
We're gonna make a show. You got a phone number now, and you're gonna check in with us. Get some really good stuff coming up. Mark McGwire had two big home runs yesterday. Talk about that. Also, we got some stuff going to Barry Bonds. B-Man's going to be in later on. Barry Bonds is going to be talking about his home run chase. And what is up with all of you wusses out there that can't take the fact that the Goodyear blimp is flying over your stadium? I am sure. Big deal, a no-fly zone over stadiums? What is up with that? We'll take a couple calls about that, too. You give us a call right now, drop your line. Also, our huge email of the day. Don't forget about our huge email of the day coming up right here. I'm Jim Rome. Let's get on the phones, okay? Let's get by me, man. Taser, Taser in Houston. How you doing, Taser?
Hi, Romy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. What up, man?
Well, thanks for the vine.
Okay, what you gonna say, man? Let's get through it. You know, look, man, if you don't have anything to say, you can call me a show. Anything to say anyway. I'm trying to do a show, more of me and less of you. That's what I'm trying to say. Get out of my man, Ray. Ray in Houston. Have a take and don't suck. Have a take and don't suck. All right? How you doing?
Yeah, Romy, thanks for the vine. Now, this is Ray in Houston.
What up, man?
are you...
What is up with the family there? They can't get anything out. You're starting to piss me off. Yeah, you're calling right now. Talking about some really good stuff in the sports. And we're off the U.S. Open, man. When are they going to get some straight people in there instead of all the homosexuals that you had in the U.S. Open? EJ and Showtime, you're next up on the Jim Rome Show. What up?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for the vine. I think.
What'd you think?
What's my what?
What'd you think?
Please don't be angry at me, Jim. I'm honestly trying to understand what you're saying.
Hey, where you got the time?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about the blimp over the...
Look, if you want to talk to me about the blimp over the stadiums, you want to talk about the good thing, too, bring it on in. Have a take it, don't suck. And don't forget our huge email, have a take it, don't suck, at jimrome.com. Let's get my main man, Billy. Billy's in Baltimore. Billy, what's up?
Yeah, man. Jim, before I say what I have to say, I want to just say, I think that, you scare me. You're scared.
I don't know what the hell is wrong with people, man. I get it. I'm trying to do everything that I can. Well, let's get our email of the day. Now, this is our huge email of the day. And this kid just saying we'll win a big email contest. And then you want some Jim Rome gear. Here it is. Dear Romy, what's wrong with your mouth? Okay, that's pretty good. Now, we're bringing up my big man Barry Bonds here in just a minute. Right here on the Premier Radio Network of the Jim Rome Show. All right, let's bring him in here. Barry, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Barry Bonds, one of the great home run hitters of all time. With the man in San Francisco, Josh. What up, man?
Yeah, what up with you, man?
Yeah. What up, Barry? What up?
Hold up a minute, man.
What do you want?
What you got on your face, man?
What am I saying? You know the grill?
Yeah, on your grill, man. What do you got on your grill, man?
It's a gas mask.
A gas mask?
Right. Did you hear about all the chemical and biological weapons?
The chemical? What did you say?
Haven't you heard about all the chemical bombs and weapons?
I got chemical, man. That's all I heard. Why you got that gas mask?
Because of the kid that said about all the weapon warfare to my son like this. Hey, I'm taking no sec, Barry. Maybe an asshole, okay? You're out.
No, I'm still here, man.
Well, you have to get out of here. Go. Because they just... Get out of here. Go.
I'm not leaving, man. I'm here. I'm Barry Bond. You don't kick me out of nothing. And no white man with some damn gas mask on his grill is going to make me leave.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here, okay?
I'm going to take that mask off, man.
No, please don't.
I'm out. Yeah, this ain't the Jim Rome Show no more. This is Barry Bond. What up?
Thanks, Barry, for the vine. We were... Is he...
Got a gas mask on, man. He looked like a dumbass white man I ever seen.
A gas mask? All right,
that's... Hey, I'm out, man. Don't forget to take the mask off, man.
You hurt me.
That was Phil Hendry doing the Jim Rome Show on the Premier Radio Networks.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Jim, what do you want? Jim Rome is back with us. What, Jim?
It's actually a huge email.
Hold on for a minute. What'd you say?
I don't have a huge email in the room.
Can you take that gas mask off, man?
You think I'm going to get exposed with anthrax and all kinds of stuff?
No, I guess you don't want to be exposed to anthrax and all kinds of stuff. Look, man, there is no biological thing going...
That's how you do it, okay? Have a take and don't smoke, okay? My show?
No, it's my show.
Well, it was my show. It's one more thing to do.
What's the one more thing you got to do?
My huge email of the day.
Your huge email of the day. All right, do your huge email of the day, and then...
Can I give away some Jim Rome gear?
I know you got to give away the Jim Rome gear. Go ahead. Do your huge email of the day.
Jim Rome.
Where's this from?
This is from Boston.
Boston.
Mm-hmm. No, not Boston.
Well, what did you say?
Boston.
Boston, or what is it? Is it Boston?
No. Houston.
Houston.
Right.
Well, then say it, man.
I want to say it. Dear Rome.
This is the huge email.
Dear Rome. You're not going to say it. 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 You're not going And another thing, when a guy's not here, he can't let him again and make him want to run. Don't fuck him. Lock him. That's fantastic. Huh?
Well, what?
That's a huge email.
That's the huge email, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't hear a word of it, man.
Well, that's because you don't get what I'm saying.
I don't what?
You don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand everything you say, man. Not everything. Not that thing on your... Give me that thing.
No, you don't listen to me.
I want to take that off of your face, okay? So that's your huge email, huh?
It's it. And you get $6 million worth of Jim Rome gear.
$6 million worth of Jim Rome gear, and I didn't hear a word of that.
Well, you got to take all the wax out of your ears, man.
The wax out of my what?
Out of your ear.
Out of my ears?
No.
Not the wax out of my ears?
No.
The wax out of my what?
Your ear.
My rear?
No.
Will you get out of here? Because Jim Rome, folks, he's doing a show with a gas mask on these days. Who can blame him? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, I could blame him. I could blame all of you for entering into that paranoia. Now then, stuff that really mattered before September the 11th. I tried to come up with a list of things that really, really was a big deal to all of us before September 11th. And how I think that a lot of this stuff is no longer operable. It's no longer applicable. It's just nothing that we care about. Gary Condit, Johnny Knoxville. Is it? I can't just be me, but isn't Johnny Knoxville sort of tame compared to what we've all been through? Robert Blake and Bonnie Bakley, was that the name? I mean, forgive me that she, you know, she died, but Jenna Bush. You haven't heard her name in weeks, and I hope I don't hear her name in many more weeks. Stuff that used to matter before September the 11th. Gas prices and blackouts. Now, I guess the gas prices would matter if the gasoline price went up. But you know what? I'm paying $1.90 right now some places, $1.75, $1.80. It ain't bothering me at all. And before all the gas prices went up this summer, it was down around $1.30. Anybody care? No. stuff that mattered before September 11th. Remember this one? Whether Elia Kazan got an Academy Award or not. Who cares? Who cared then? Half the cats in the audience that didn't want him to get that award would have done the same damn thing he did. Half. All of them. Stuff that really used to matter before September the 11th, and if anybody cares about it now, there's some serious rearranging that needs to be done there in terms of priority. Travelgate. You remember how we were marginally interested in that when it happened, and now, does anybody even remember what it was? I bet you there's nobody other than just a handful of talk radio groupies that even could tell you what Travelgate was. I didn't know even when it was happening what it was. Somebody took a trip and spent money that they weren't supposed to spend? Was that it? Someone got... whatever. Whitewater. Stuff, the stuff that used to matter before September 11th. The stuff that used to make us sweat. Whitewater. The time. The energy. The conversation. The baloney that was tied up in Whitewater. Remember this guy's name? How many of you thought of this name since September the 11th? How many of you thought of his name much before September the 11th? Ken Starr. Oh, he was everything. He was everywhere. He was all a rage. Ken Starr. Now, I can't even spell Starr. I think it was S-T-A-R-R, but I usually it was S-T-A-R, but because it's a guy's name, it's two R's. Whatever. Things that really mattered before September 11th. Remember how we used to devote so much conversation to which movies this summer sucked? You remember when that was the real angst? You remember when we were really upset, when our stomachs were churning, when our fists were beaten against the cement wall until they were bloody over the fact that Planet of the Apes possibly, but maybe probably didn't suck more than Pearl Harbor? And oh yeah, let's not forget about AI. Remember before September 11th how we would talk about whether AI was brilliant or bullcrap? And by the way, on that note, remember what we talked about before September 11th, whether Haley Joel Osment mattered at all? It's just, he's talented, but just ain't there at the top of the list no more. I know she still matters now, even after September 11th, but her breasts don't, and I'm talking about Britney Spears. Before September 11th, it was a huge contretemps, a major point of discussion, a major point of departure for generations, Britney Spears' breasts. Do you remember before September the 11th how this guy mattered and he was the beginning of a new cultural edge? He was the beginning of a new cultural trend, probably the beginning of an entire new breed of culture. Eminem. Eminem. No offense, man, but doesn't he look a little bit like a punk face compared to everything else that we've been dealing with? And do you recall before September 11th how gangster rap was the biggest thing threatening American society? That was the biggest thing, gangster rap. Now we find out that those guys are just as threatened, if not more so, by what happened in New York and Washington because of all the bread that they have and the stake they've got in the culture. And we realize that it's all an act and it's really not real. I mean, it's just a posture. That's all it is. Just a posture, just an interesting posture. Do you remember before September 11th how Meg Ryan and whoever, that was Russell Quaid, Dennis Crowe, I forget. But there was a guy there was just, Meg Ryan, and what will she do now? What will happen now to Meg? Tears and families breaking up. And on that note, do you recall before September 11th how seriously committed to news of Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise we were? And before September 11th, Julia Roberts and Benjamin Bratt, that's got to be talked about. That's got to be talked about because those two people are happier than anybody. We ain't talking about that anymore. Before September 11th, Tom Green, Drew Barrymore, big news. Her house being on fire, big news. Before September 11th, the L.A. earthquake, if you lived in this town, major. Before September 11th, the Malibu fires.
Before September 11th, Monica Lewinsky, Linda Tripp, tapes, dresses, semen stains, all the rage before September the 11th. Before September the 11th, must-see TV. And how is that Friends episode going to play out tonight? You know what? I'm going to have to take that one back because there's a lot of people looking forward to that Friends episode tonight, including me. Only because I know I'm going to have to talk about it tomorrow, and my friend Mr. Schaefer here is going to say, did you see it? Before September the 11th, everybody was worried about Al Gore and did he invent the Internet like he ever claimed that he did. Before September the 11th, we all worried about whether George Bush had brains, whether he could speak publicly, whether he was dyslexic, whether he had a drinking problem, whether his wife Laura would ever speak publicly, dyslexic or otherwise. Before September the 11th. Before September the 11th, there was Barry Bonds, there was Mark McGuire, there was Sammy Sosa, there was Luis Gonzalez. Before September the 11th, there was the NFL umpire replacement strike thing, whatever that was. I guess they settled it. Who knows? Who cares? Did anybody see the sports page? Not me. Before September the 11th, did the Dodgers do the right thing in keeping Gary Sheffield and keeping Kevin Brown? And will they make the playoffs? And are they on the right track? And before September the 11th, what a rotten year the Reds are having and the Bengals. I can't wait for the Bengals, you know. And before September the 11th, was it Jeff George and the Washington Redskins? And is he really the right fit for that team? All of that before September 11th. And before September the 11th, yes, before September the 11th, second only to Eminem, as the premier and preeminent threat to American society, sharks. Sharks! Sharks in the Gulf. Sharks in the Atlantic. How many guys are going to bite this week? And we thought that was an apocalypse now, man, before September the 11th. The sharks are rising up. They're going to eat us. Were they bull sharks and tiger sharks and hammerhead sharks, too? A big white, little white, you blue. I don't know. I'll tell you who set the sharks. Bin Laden. Before September the 11th. Before September the 11th, probably the biggest problem we had was the fact that those darn highway patrol, they just won't let me kind of air it out on the freeway, you know. I'm on Interstate 5. There's nobody out there. Come on, officer. Before September the 11th, it was all of those meddlesome school board people and those teachers, and they're teaching the wrong thing, and they're teaching the right thing, and they're not doing this, and they aren't doing that, and they're doing this, and they are doing that. And before September the 11th dawned, that beautiful sunny morning, all over the country, I don't know where it was raining, it couldn't have been a bad day anywhere in this country on the morning of September the 11th. New York was beautiful. California was fantastic. And what were we worried about then? What were we talking about then? Profiling. Profiling. Speaking of that, we're profiling still. And before the 11th of September, it was all of that over the back fence. Man, sure is a hot day today. Do you think this is the hottest summer on record? I don't know. I think maybe last year was a little bit hotter. But yeah, are we going to get snow? Are we going to get wind? Are we going to get rain? Are we going to have more heat? Maybe it's going to be hotter. Maybe it's going to be colder. And before September the 11th, by the way, global warming. Global warming. If we don't do something about that global warming. And the other thing before September the 11th, how do we save our beautiful forests from oil drilling? Of course, now, well, I guess it's no different. We're still getting our oil from the Middle East. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And it was the same number before the September 11th. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And visit our website, philhendryshow.com, 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 with a variety of features. What's up? About Phil, sound bites, or sound bits, Funhouse, whatever, and get this. A lot of our Funhouse is really cool, and we're going to have the Hendroids game in there, which will be a video game featuring kind of a version of Asteroids. Our poll, Phil Hendry Polls America, today's question is the same question as yesterday, as a matter of fact, because we haven't put up the new poll yet. I guess we won't put it up till tomorrow. Just late night in front of television, do you eat box stuff and that you find in the cupboard, basically drink beer and not eat, get up and make some popcorn, or dial up some takeout joint? What do you do when you're watching television late at night? The leader right now, and just by a thin margin, is eat box stuff you find in the cupboard, 37%, over basically drink beer and not eat, 36%. And in third place, distant, get up and make something like popcorn, which is what I would do, but whatever. Dial up some takeout joint with a paltry 6% of the vote. Tomorrow, check back in with the Phil Hendry Polls America website question. It'll be something lame. I mean something really interesting. Here's Angelo. Angelo, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just wondering if you heard anything about Bin Laden when Afghanistan was fighting Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of nervous.
That's okay, man. That's you're entitled. It's all right. I'm nervous too.
No, you're my idol, and I'm kind of nervous because I talk to you.
Well, you know what, dude? I'm nervous every day. I feel like throwing up before I walk in here, so don't worry about it.
All right. Well, anyway, when Russia was fighting Afghanistan.
Right.
We were against Russia at the time. Reagan was in office, and terrorism was okay.
Right.
Because it wasn't happening to us; it was happening to our enemy. And Reagan called Bin Laden a freedom fighter.
Did he really? I don't know if that's true. I wouldn't doubt it, considering the fact that he was training the Mujahideen with weapons that we were shipping them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you can be wrong about a guy, huh?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure that Reagan, if he had it to take back, he would, if he said that. And, you know, here's the thing about that. I don't know if you saw this congressman on TV yesterday, and I don't even know what this guy's name is, but he said, we really blew it, including myself. He was talking about himself. He said he was in a position to vote back at the end of the 80s when the Soviet Union had collapsed and when the Soviets had pulled out of Afghanistan. And he said, we blew it as a country. And the interviewer said, well, what do you mean? He says, and I blew it, too, as a representative. We had an opportunity to give those people agricultural equipment, farming equipment. We could have helped them build roads. We could have gone shoulder to shoulder with them rebuilding their industry. We could have gone shoulder to shoulder with them as Americans and Afghanis, putting their infrastructure back together again, putting their schools back together again. We didn't do any of that. We just left. They beat the Soviets. And that's all we needed, and we left.
Yep.
And, you know,
they
I grew up...
We abandoned them.
It looks that way to me, too, because, you know, I grew up during the 60s when I was a kid. Kennedy had started something called the Peace Corps. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and the Peace Corps is one, in my opinion, one of the coolest things this country has ever created. It's American, young Americans who travel internationally working with the native peoples of whatever land, teaching them, helping them build. You know, a friend of mine was in the Peace Corps in Morocco. He taught English to French-speaking students. And it was a way for him, after he got out of school, to serve his country, and he didn't have to necessarily be in the military. We could have done so much good over there after the Soviets left, and we didn't do any of it. And look at this. So look at this crap we got now.
I see.
Sucks.
We should have taught them how to play basketball like we did in Africa.
Yeah? Yeah. We could have done something creative, like hockey.
Yeah.
Look, I know this is going to be weird for you guys, but have you thought about ice skating? All right, man. Angelo, thank you.
No problem.
See you later. Did we teach the cats in Africa to play basketball? Is that what the Peace Corps did in Africa? And that's because of that we have Mutombo. We have our my other guy there, Olajuwon. 1-800-449-8686. Karen, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Karen.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. Now, I just wanted to mention that I live in the Salinas Valley here in California. And,
yeah.
And the day after, you know, September 11th, all these Mexican flags went up instead of American flags here. And I'm just really enraged about it.
Let me ask you something, because I don't know how to feel about this. In my neighborhood, not in my neighborhood, but up the street in my town, I saw British Union Jacks.
Hmm.
What do you think about that? I was ambivalent. I was... in a quandary, if you will?
Well, I'm angered by it. I just feel like, I think, why don't you guys fly both flags together?
Here's what my kids asked me. They said, hey, what's up with that Union Jack? And I said, you know something? I think it's because they live here and they're patriots for their own nation and they're doing it in solidarity with us.
Well,
They are citizens of another country, but because they live in America, they want to show America that, hey, Britain is here and Mexico is here. I mean, that's a positive spin to put on it, but I honestly believe that. I don't think Mexican flags would wave. That's not the Mexican people. They're not an in-your-face people.
No, they're not.
They're not. They're really a kind people. They're not the kind of people that go, hey, stick it, you know.
Well, I'm Mexican myself.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't.
Stop with Mexico, of course, but you know, it seems like all the field workers here—they just have these huge flags all over their cars, all over their, you know, working equipment, and you know, why
it
don't
could
they
very
fly?
Well be that they saw this attack as not only an attack on America, as an attack on North America, and they're standing with us, and they're patriotic with Mexico. That's what I take from it. Believe me, I'm the first guy to be cynical about stuff.
Well, me too.
Yeah, you're the first guy.
I'm the first guy.
You're the first girl that gets to be cynical about things. And that's what I, because my kids were asking me that when I was taking them to school. Hey, how come that guy's flying? What's that flag? That's the British flag. Well, what's he doing with that? That's not American. I said, well, I think it's because yada, yada, yada. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And I also just wanted to say that when that happened, the first thing I said to my husband on, you know, September 11th is, well, I bet Gary Condit's relieved. He won't be on the news for a while.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Gary Condit. I mean, there's all kinds of people that are pushed off the front page on this one.
That's what I mean.
All right.
You know, so, you know, he's relieved.
Okay, Karen, thanks.
Thanks.
Bye. Although I would not say that Gary Condit is relieved that, you know, 6,000 people are dead. I mean, whatever the guy did wrong, no. I will not say that Gary Condit is happy that that thing in New York happened. I'm sure that he's probably relieved that, you know, that focus is off of him. But you know what? I just saw a thing in a paper today. That cat is, his days are numbered up there. And I never thought that would happen. I thought that they'd reelect him. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Curry, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, going back to what the congressman had said about that we blew it by pulling out. I think it was time to pull out. I think we did enough for the Afghan people at that time. It was time for us to go.
I'm just saying that there would have been, there was an opportunity missed, that's all. I mean, there was an opportunity to actually make friends of them.
Well,
and we would have made friends.
We
would have made friends of a people sitting right on the Russian and Iranian borders.
Well, I think we were friends at that time.
We were friends at that time, but then we left, and there they are in a country with boulders and crap and smoking buildings and nothing. I mean, you know, if you think that the most you can do for a people is to give them guns. It's just, it's misguided,
well,
man. There's there's a lot we can do for them.
Sure.
I grew up at a time when there was a thing called the Ship of Hope. You ever heard of the Ship of Hope?
No.
It was a hospital ship that American charity donations paid for, and it went from port to port around the world with American volunteer doctors and nurses helping whatever medical malady may be in the local area. I mean, this is what we did at one time, our country. We had young people coming out of college, joining the Peace Corps, going around and making friends of people. I mean, a lot of people think that's corny. They may think it's a bunch of liberal crap. How could it be wrong? How could it be bad?
Well,
it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything.
No, I'm just saying that shouldn't be held against us that we left.
I'm just saying it's an opportunity missed, man. You want to hold it against us or any? I wouldn't go so far as to say, aren't we a bunch of dumbasses?
Right.
I'd say we had a shot, we had an opportunity, and we were not farsighted enough to look at it. And thanks for your call, man. And I mean, you got to look. You make a mistake, you got to take a look at the mistake. Or if you made a misstep, you got to take a look at the misstep. Or somewhere along the line, you have to say to yourself, hey, you know, here was an opportunity we had, and we didn't grab a hold of that thing. We didn't grab it by the short and curlies. We didn't grab it by the ball. Well, what am I saying? Get away from all of those analogies, Phil. You know what I'm saying. Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Thanks for taking the call, Phil.
Wasn't me. It was my screener.
Hey, I want to make a comment. The young lady who talked about the Mexican flags that went up after September 11th, to me, it's symptomatic of some of the political correctness that's kind of gotten out of hand. I mean, it's one thing to be proud of your heritage. It's another thing if you're more proud to fly the Mexican flag or your heritage country's flag rather than the American flag, then why are you even here?
Working?
Well, I understand that. But, I mean, my point is I have no problem with immigrants coming into this country. We're all immigrants. But it's maybe time we start taking control.
Sure you don't have any problem, Bill. Sure you don't. Come on. Come on.
No,
you're talking
I
just
think we ought to be more...
You know the old saying, don't bullcrap a bullcrapper? You're talking to the number one ace bullcrap artist in America today. Come
on. I just
on.
Think we ought to have more control over. Are you here just to reap the benefits of America? Are you here to try to come to America and make this your home?
All right, here. Let's look at it this way. We're in Britain, you and me. We're Americans. We're not citizens, but we're working there. We may be, for instance, in my case, in broadcasting, whatever business you're in. Suddenly, an attack is leveled upon an ally of America's, Britain. All right? Now, we live in that country, but we're not citizens there, and yet we want to show some solidarity. We want to show the British people that America is with them. We've been partaking of their system and their culture. We work there. We're paying taxes, yes, but by the same token, It's a really cool word, and I can't pronounce it. Well, let's just say the very nice people of Britain have taken us, the benevolence, yes, have taken us okay. into their hearts. It would be my instinct, as I saw Union Jacks going up all over the country, to throw an American flag into that. And my instinct to throw an American flag into that would be to say, America's with you.
I mean, I can understand your point. It's probably why the Union Jacks went up in your neighborhood.
Well, that's right, and that's why the Mexican flags went up in that lady's neighborhood. It's not because anybody's saying we're Mexicans above everything else. It's like it's a statement of solidarity. Also, and we're going to find out from the caller on line 4. You know what, Bill? Why don't you hold on? All right, because the guy on line 4 here is about to make us both look like assholes. Hey, Alan.
Yeah, what's up, Joe?
What was September 15th?
September 15th is Mexican Independence Day.
Well, there you go, Bill. Now we both look like morons, okay?
All right, let's just drop that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what it is, Alan? Mexican Independence?
Yeah, they celebrate the week before with the parade and all, and the whole week after. So, you know, they throw a party well. You
but
know, they,
I'm sure they would wave the flag in solidarity of America, even if it wasn't Mexican Independence Day. Ain't that right, Alan?
You got it.
All right, man, thanks.
I see a lot of them, yeah, both the Mexican flag and the U.S. flag.
Yeah, what's the British excuse, man? Anyone know British Independence Day? Huh?
I don't know what's up with that one.
It's in front of a pub, yeah.
You got it.
Oh, you're right. Thanks for calling. There I am with a big, long-winded bullcrap excuse, and it's Mexican Independence Day. I'm sure that it's in solidarity of the American people, and I'm Rush Limbaugh. Is Kathy still on 2? Is that her? I hung up on her. No, Kathy. Well, who's this on line 2? Named Kathy in Salinas. Yes, she was. Her name was Kathy, and she was in Salinas. Now she's hung up. You goofball. Jason, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, what an honor, Phil. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Before I get to my point, I always thought that Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, was Mexican Independence Day.
No.
Okay. First thing first.
Cinco de Mayo was the victory over the Napoleonic forces.
Oh, that's what it is. Once during that area, and talk about a party. But merchandise, I'm just curious. I'm one of those people, I've just... always like to wear shirts and hats from those that I admire and show.
Yeah, I do too. I like to wear pants too. Do you ever try that?
Not.
It's really a lot of fun. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, I heard you once talk about maybe making up some like real subtle Ted's of Beverly Hills shirts, something like that only the insiders would get.
Oh, you're talking about website?
Yeah, merchandise like that.
Yeah,
you know,
we're talking about that. We got a lot of stuff planned for our website that I think you guys will enjoy, and we that is a definite. That's definite in the offing.
Well, I'll be one of many to order.
All right.
Again, your show really is blowing up here in this part of the world. I just love it, and I got friends and family hooked on it, and
cool.
Your characters are just unforgettable. But I just have to tell you a story. When I was first brought on your show about a year ago, for the most part, the last year, I've just spent my time listening at night and the radio, and at one point, you know, I was, you know, I wanted to try the website. So I all along had thought that your name was Phil Henry, H-E-N-R-Y.
Yeah.
I used that opportunity one day to hit up on my computer at work, the PhilHenryShow.com, and much to my surprise, it's a triple X porn site that
comes
up.
Yeah, I know.
So I didn't know if you have heard this before, but my story got worse because my computer happened to lock up after I had gotten that site up, and it's one of those, for whatever reason, it just won't go away, and it did get worse because I actually had to bring in an IT person internally to my area to get me out of it, and you should have seen me try to explain my way out of that one.
Oh, because he's looking at all the history in your computer. Yeah, and he's looking at all that history with PhilHenryShow.com. Yeah, so, and there's nothing I can do about it because it's H-E-N-R-Y. That's not how I spell my name. It's like Sting, the British performer, Sting.com. I think he sued, and he was actually able to win back at least partially rights to his name.
Yeah. There you go.
Thanks for calling.
Sure, thank you.
All right, man. But Phil Henry, yeah, it is. It's a major. What am I giving more advertising to the guy? He's out there right now being mean to himself, just going, oh, yeah, mention it, oh, yeah. Our website is clean and a lot of fun. H-E-N-D-R-I-E is how I spell my last name, not because it's some show buzz spelling. That's the way my grandfather spelled his name when he came over here from Saudi Arabia. And another thing, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, now here is Amy. Hi, Amy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I have a comment about the Brits in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
That you were about their
flying their flag. Flying. Yeah.
Right. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't there quite a few Brits that died in the World Trade Center that were working in the World Trade Center?
Yeah, there were a lot of people from a lot of countries, yes.
From a lot of countries,
you
nationalities.
Bet. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Some, you know, maybe they were showing, you know, their remembrance and their loss for their, you know,
outstanding
people
point.
From their home country. So
that's an outstanding point.
Right. I mean, I believe there's a lot of Germans also. So, you know, it's people that have come here from all over.
You know, it's the World Trade Center. There's people from all over the world there.
Right.
And it's the future. That was an attack on the future of the world. That attack was on the world's future, and the attack was made by the world's past. It was made by the medieval past of this world on the hope and the future of the world. Because there were Australians, and there were Brits, and there were Chinese, and there were Japanese, and there were Canadians. I don't know how many countries how many people representing nations that weren't in that building.
Right, it was an attack on... It was an attack on the world.
You got it. You got it, Amy.
Okay,
good
point. That's it. I just wanted to mention that to you.
All right. What else? How else are you doing? Is everything fine? Let's just drag this phone call out. No, I'm kidding. Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye-bye, Amy. I'd take another call, but I don't have the time. Never have enough time. Always running hither, thither. Whither goest thou in the American night? Saith the poet. God, I want to make out with myself after that. No, anyway, the world's future was attacked that day by the world's past. Which are you going to choose, the past or the future? I'm Phil Henry. I'll sit it out for a little bit. No, I'm joining the world's future. We'll be right back.